Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother 22 Roundtable Podcast on a Saturday. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Mary. How you doing, Mary?
I'm doing great. Been a little while since I've talked Big Brother 22, at the very least, so I'm excited to get back into this. It's been a fun day so far. Fun week-ish. I mean, interesting, but not necessarily in the way that I was hoping it was going to be.
Also with us here today is Geneva. How are you doing, Geneva?
I'm good, Taryn. Good to see you again. It's been definitely an interesting week since I saw you on Sunday talking about the live feeds. And yeah, I'm not sure if I'm really happy about what's going on right now, but you know, I'm sure we'll talk a bit about that more soon, but happy to be here.
Yes. And also with us is Serena. How are you doing, Serena?
I'm doing well. I hate to see Day and Bay on the block. But we've had some really fun, like, tier drama on the feeds, and it's been, like, actually kind of an interesting week so far.
All right. Well, we're going to get into it all here on the roundtable. We talk about everything on the feeds. We're also going to talk Legacy Watch tonight. I put out a survey where you guys responded about the legacy tier in which each of these players resides. And we're going to go over where that is. What have they done to their legacy this week? Let's find out at the end of this podcast. So let's get into the week. So the last time we spoke to you on a roundtable was, of course, on Tuesday. We had Kacer up on the block next to Christmas, and we all knew what was going to happen. We didn't know that the FBI hat was coming out, and that was hard, but we got through it. Kacer, he's gone, but not forgotten. It's very sad. We had an HOH. Nothing of too much consequence goes on there since the last time we spoke. We had more of Ian trying to, like, make things happen with Kacer, which eventually got out to the other side of the house, and they found out that Ian was that whole edit that we saw on Thursday about, like, Ian's like, it's an octopus. They found out about the octopus, and that was not good for Ian, Mary.
Look, I understand a many-limbed creature, but octopus is really not what I would have gone for with this. Maybe, like, spider web or, like, Medusa might be better. Because at least Medusa, it's like multiple snakes, you know? It's like one creature, multiple beings. But, like, your legs of an octopus or your tentacles, that's just like limbs. It's not really the same thing.
Well, they're using the limbs to attack. The limbs are attacking each other. They're vehicles.
I bet those snakes and Medusa hair attack each other.
Do they? I don't know.
It's like when a dog like attacks its own tail. Like, he's like growling at the tail, and he's like, "This isn't part of me. What are you doing here?"
Don't the Medusa snakes just work on turning people to stone? I thought that was the thing.
Look, I think that there you could fit that into Big Brother. It has multiple meanings. One day there's going to be a Medusa alliance. I'll figure it out.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kacer, unfortunately, is going to be sent home on Thursday. And then the HOH competition happens. Geneva, we were very close. Very close. But Christmas is going to take this one.
And the crazy thing about the whole situation is Christmas did not do anything. And, you know, she is showing like, oh, I'm this huge game player. I am so good at these competitions. But literally the only reason she won was because Davon got that question wrong. And, you know, buzzed in class. I wish Davon took a couple
more seconds to actually like count, because she was really killing that competition. You know, she got out multiple players and she should have won that one. It's really disappointing that, you know, she was very determined to win a comp. And it was when she really needed to win. And unfortunately, it didn't work in her favor, because we've seen what's basically come into play. Both Bailey and Devon are now on the block, which is an unfortunate situation.
Yeah. Devon, I think she just choked. It happens. You know, you're just kind of in cruise control. Like, she's good at this. Like, when the pressure's not crazy on, it's like, okay, I got this. Then when she's one person away, oh my God, I might actually win. Hold on. Oh.
Yeah. Not a closer, which is very unfortunate, because that would have been such a better and different week and so refreshing for the season. And I think it adds insult to injury with the nominations being what they are, how close it was. Ugh. We're just getting the same week over and over.
Over and over. It's really sad. And I was in the kitchen cooking, and I was built up for that. And it was just like big crushing disappointment. And we get it over and over again every week. And I'm just like a little bit tired of it.
Yeah.
The whole majority alliance thing is just getting old. I really want to see like a back and forth thing going on, you know, alliances fracturing, different people that we're not expecting to go after one another. It's just, of course, one, it's just more interesting gameplay. It makes for an all-star season. And I feel like with what we're supposed to expect out of an all-star season, we're not really seeing that. We're just seeing blah. People are afraid to make moves. People are just like, I'm not going to rock the boat. I'm going to leave things how they are. I don't want to hurt anybody's, you know, feelings. I'm just going to go out after the people on the outside. And, you know, I'm just getting tired of that narrative, honestly.
Mm. Yeah. Aman is in the chat. He says he's been drinking wine ever since Thursday night. So.
Yeah, me and Aman both.
Aman, are you okay?
Me too.
Do you need any help?
Stay hydrated, Aman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we see this a lot, and it's really frustrating, but it's a testament to the people who are the heads of the octopus or whatever, who are doing such a good job making all of the B players snowed into thinking that they're up there at the A players, and that's why they just keep taking shots at each other instead of trying to upset the apple cart.
Mm. So Christmas is the new HOH. Now we know that for a while now she has been targeting initially it was Devon, but Nicole was able to sway her toward Bailey and Nicole Franzel, since there were two back then, has really been pushing the Bailey target for a while now with Christmas. And the only other person with major influence over Christmas is Tyler, who has been very hands off with Christmas for a long time. So Christmas is the HOH, and she is inclined to go toward Bailey and Devon. There was apparently some drama that happened after the HOH, because the HOH was a knockout and the cards were shown. Danny put Bailey and Devon up right next to each other. Three people. They're all supposed to be in an alliance together. And she went right for them, and they came right back. And so it basically was like, what's going on? We don't know what this confrontation was. We know that it got pretty heated, apparently, but beyond that, we don't know exactly how it went or what was said. I imagine that we're going to find out, Serena, on Sunday, tomorrow night.
I hope we do. I mean, there were so many tears. Oh, she needs to go and take it now because she's having a panic attack. Like, what do you mean? What's going on? I don't see anything happening on the page. We waited so long to see like the video even come back up. And I'm just like, wow, this is what we've been waiting for. A little drama. Unfortunately, I don't actually want to see it with these people because I want them all to be here in the house. And It's exciting, but it's a little bit like a bummer because I know that one of my faves is about to like head out because of everything that just happened in this knockout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's this week really has been like constant piecing together what we missed, because I feel like the feeds keep going down for the biggest moments of the week. And I feel like that happened last week too. And it's getting kind of annoying. We're missing so much context for what's happening because the feeds came back on from the HOH competition and Bailey and Devon were upstairs already talking about throwing Tyler under the bus about going after Danny. We saw Tyler downstairs talking to Christmas, putting up basically no resistance at all to a Bailey and Devon nomination with the intent to send Bailey home, which was kind of a blindside because until this point, he was very adamant about Danny leaving. And if it was Day and Bay on the block, that Day would be the one that would go so that they could run to the end with Bay. And so it kind of leads you to believe that we either missed something or Tyler has, you know, again, like the only thing I could think of was that he had a conversation with Danny the night before about bitter juries and he's worried potentially about her jury vote. But there may also have been something that happened while the feeds were down. I don't know. Geneva, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I hope we get a sense tomorrow of what in the world really happened between Tyler and Bailey, because, you know, it's quite disappointing to see, because I was really hoping that, you know, they could have turned a new page and this season actually worked together, whether it was secretly or more openly. But, you know, I think one thing that we've been hearing about recently, I guess, on the feeds is he's been kind of talking about how Bailey's even playing as the victim, when I feel like we typically see that to be described Nicole, but not a lot of people will typically say that about Nicole. And then just like, or she gets upset and doesn't get her way and all these other sorts of things that I'm not really used to him saying. So it seems like he's bringing up a lot of, you know, past experiences from when they were on the season together and using them to kind of, you know, fuel the fire and get her to be the target to go home. And I think even more now we're starting to see that a lot of the girls are more inclined to keep Devon now over Bailey. So it's definitely an interesting shift because, you know, I was especially expecting to see, you know, definitely the guys would really want to keep Bailey, you know, close. But now I'm just like not too sure if, you know, now Bailey will have the votes, even though I thought it before, even before the veto, it would have been the other way around.
We've seen this in basically every version of All-Star games of any kind, which is this whole thing of people who've played together in the past, are they going to be able to use that past relationship, whether it was good or bad, to their benefit in this season, or is it going to dissolve? And I do think that whether or not we missed anything, there's probably at least a small part in the back of Tyler's head saying, am I ever going to fully be able to trust Bailey? I probably want her out, whether it be because of the jury management thing or the bitter jury, or whether it be, you know, do I need to take advantage of my pawn in Christmas here to take her out and disguise it, you know? Because like you've mentioned many times, Taryn, if Bailey and Devon are both on the block, that's the prime time to take a shot at one of them because, well, you had to get rid of one of you two, you know, that's just the only option there. I wonder that it's annoying that Big Brother has been on for 22 seasons and they still haven't quite figured out whether the show wants to be exciting because you get to see everything 24/7 and live, or if they want to keep cutting out the best bits so that we have to wait for the show. They haven't quite figured that out yet. And sometimes it's a combination of both. That's a little bit annoying, but I do agree that it has been a pretty big change in the last week from where it seemed like in this situation, Bailey would be the one protected, to now that's getting turned on its head. And I think you have to probably point a lot of fingers at Tyler for that because he's the one who benefits most from that scenario.
And I'll also say, like, I was hoping that Bailey, because she's built, from what I've seen, a good relationship with Enzo, and he's, you know, has these connections that are in the main alliance, that he could have put in a little bit more work there with the rest of the people to, you know, build up her trustworthiness. And it not only does it seem like that didn't happen, but also that he doesn't care at this point. He's over his parachute. This is his only parachute he's ever had. And he's like giving her up with no problems. So that's also really disappointing.
It's so weird to me that, am I the only?
Sorry. I think that was me. I don't know what happened.
Like, something short circuited in my
circuitry. I don't know what happened there.
In my brain circuitry. What was I saying?
Enzo and
Tyler and Cody, they were all very adamant about Davon being the one to go. It reminded me a lot of the week that Janelle and Kaser were on the block. The week prior, you had a bunch of people like Cody and Memphis in particular being like, definitely it's got to be Kaser first. And then as soon as they went up the block, it was like, nah, and Janelle. And it kind of feels the same way here, where like Tyler was pushing hard for Bailey to be the one to stay. Enzo was pushing hard. Enzo was like, let's bring Bailey to the final five. And then they end up on the block and it's just like, yeah, okay. Bailey can go. Davon can stay. And it's like, whoa. Very quick shift. And again, I'm not entirely sure where it comes from, especially I think with Enzo, we talked about this the other day, that Enzo is not a pusher. He is not somebody that pushes his agenda on people very much. He's very much a people pleaser. That's what gets him far in the game. So it's not super surprising to me from Enzo. But it is a little surprising to me from Tyler. I think that if you had told me at the start of the season, Tyler is going to want Bailey out before Davon, I would have said, yeah, of course. There's shaky ground there. But he has been working on Bailey and not trusting Davon as much for so long. So it feels like either I don't know, maybe he's been pretending this whole time, or maybe there was something that happened while the feeds were down. It's hard to say. I hate to hope for diary rooms in the episode to explain things, because I never get it. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see what Tyler says about this in the diary room. No. And then the episode's going to be like Christmas talking about why she wants to do it and no conversation with Tyler, you know?
Yeah, you're setting yourself up for disaster there.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing is, a lot of the really good players are also going to probably be more wary about mentioning things in diary rooms or even just to the camera themselves. And we see that a lot, which can be very, very frustrating when you have some people who are running the house and you never quite know until later on in the season when they finally decide to reveal it all. So it's frustrating.
Yeah. So that is going to be the plan. Ultimately is Bailey and Davon on the block. Now there was another new thing that was introduced this week. It's the Big Brother basement, which is like a really creepy title for something. And the idea is that they had to go and search blindly for three different powers. Three of them now secretly have powers. I was talking about this morning on the update, so I won't go into too much detail here, but basically we know that Christmas has the power to block herself from being a replacement nominee in a veto ceremony, and Danny has the ability to allow an outgoing HOH to compete again in the following HOH competition. We do not know who has the third power. There's a little bit of speculation that it might be Kevin, a little bit of speculation that it might be Enzo, and just the fact that nobody said anything makes people think maybe it's Tyler. But beyond that, we don't really know. What we do know is that the feeds came back from that competition, and again, there was drama. And this time you can tell that that Bailey was affected very deeply, the feeds came back to her talking to Davon and being very upset that the other house guests, like, why do they find me so scary? And this is the culmination of something that we have been talking about, especially with Danny, but also with some others, when it comes to the microaggressions that have been aggressed upon Bailey and Davon. And so she was very, very upset about this. And it has culminated to this moment, Geneva.
Yeah, it's difficult to watch. And I know, you know, some people do have the perception, well, you know, Bailey is a bit more vocal, you know, Bailey sometimes, like, you know, when she was talking to Kacer, you know, some people are like, well, the words that are used to describe Bailey, according to, you know, some who perceive it, you know, are accurate. But I don't necessarily know if I would say that's true. I'd say that they're, you know, I think when it comes to Bailey and Davon, just generally in the house, they are instantly grouped together as a duo. And very early in the season, we saw that intentionally they did not want to hang around each other because they didn't want to be perceived as a threat. And I think typically when you look at, you know, casts for the show, for Big Brother, you know, you predominantly have a white cast, so you're not going to see many people of color. But when, you know, there are people of color, like in the game, sometimes there are perceived ideas that they're going to work together. Suddenly, like the white contestants would more likely work together. So automatically, I think people perceive them to be kind of the same person. And I know, I think something happened on the feeds where I think Ian misspoke and, you know, said, I think Bay was Day or something like that. So even like that, that's kind of a situation where Bailey's like, I don't feel like I'm being considered to be a separate person. Like I'm, like people are kind of mixing us up and not even thinking we're the same person. And I think that's sometimes an issue that, you know, I think women of color have to face, you know, outside the game and especially in the game. And I think it's very challenging to hear certain phrases used by, you know, Christmas, Danny and Nicole, constantly about being scared or being concerned that people are comfortable, you know, like, so it's like, what are they and Day supposed to be? You know, so that's where I think sometimes it becomes complex, because I think there are stereotypes that they're out there in society. And a lot of these house guests are saying these things to try to scare each other so that Bay and Day become these targets. And so, you know, it's kind of concerning. Like, I think, you know, Christmas, you know, being worried about, you know, like the repercussions of her putting the two on the block. And, it, you know, some of these comments are just, you know, the idea that Bailey would steal Janelle's clothing when, you know, so I think it's just, there's just constant problem. And it's supposedly they had implicit bias training. It doesn't really seem like it's taking place. So it's really difficult to have the added layer of being in, you know, a space where it doesn't seem like it's safe for these contestants, but then also having this additional target on your back because, you know, you have something in common with certain people that you can't control. So I don't know. It's a difficult, complex situation. And I feel for Bailey. I understand where people are like, well, maybe, you know, Bailey should communicate in a different way. But also it's just like, you know, I think it's kind of sad to see that they have to change the way that they are in order to cater to other people. Because I feel like we see other house guests who do similar things to Bailey and Davon, but they're not called out for it. So I think there's just a double standard there. And that's just the concerning thing about watching Big Brother as a viewer, to see this, you know, basically contradiction where, you know, one group of people are perceived to be okay to get away with certain things, but another group of people are not. You know, do not have that liberty.
And as a viewer, and I know that there's a lot of people who look at this from a lot of different sides, because some people, you're definitely going to hear people saying, well, but Bailey and Davon said that they were in an alliance and that they were untouchable to each other, so shouldn't that matter? But I think we're not looking at all of the people who also have those same deals and connections. But why are we not looking at those? We're only looking at Bailey and Davon because it's a thing that they can't hide their similarity, like you were saying, right? You know, you hear in Survivor, I remember one time Boston Rob said, like, I want to target anything that pulls people to be together, whether it be a shared religion or a shared favorite flavor of ice cream or whatever. Like, those are things that are reasons to target people. And like, from a certain perspective of game of like, if everyone was exactly equal, I can understand why some people might say, oh, it's fair game because you gotta, you know, much like Janelle and Kacer, like split up the pairs or whatever. But, and Amon mentioned this in the chat just now, and I think this is really important, is like, Bailey and Devon were going to be paired together regardless, just because of the fact that they have the same skin color. And so it's a lose-lose for them. They either just say, okay, we're going to be paired together and maybe we're friends or whatever, and let's work together because of that. Or they could try to distance each other and still be potentially targeted as a pair. It's a lose-lose situation for them. It's something that I think a lot of the other people in the house who, I mean, we keep seeing these pictures being put up, right, when people have been voted out and Julie says, look, here's the alliance. What's the commonality here and why is that not being looked at? But, oh, Bailey and Devon, we have to only look at that. So I can see, like, there's the game aspect of maybe they could have done things differently, but maybe everyone else could have done things differently, too. And I think that there's always going to be a point of them that's like, no matter what they did, people were still going to perceive it this way anyway.
Yeah,
it's definitely a challenging situation because I think when we look at what's going on, you know, I think Christmas has kind of said, well, you guys are the only apparent duo that we know that's confirmed that's out there. But it's also like, you know, I think we heard Kacer's eviction speech. You know, he brought up people who were working together, you know, Nicole and Cody. I feel like that should be a really obvious pair. Danny and Nicole are real life friends. So, you know, it's like
Ian and Nicole are winners. Yeah, there's all
exactly.
kinds of
Literally, they're winners.
Ian
they
and
have
Nicole are winners. They should be the biggest target in the house right now. What is happening?
This is what's crazy to me is that these pre-jury or early jury players are apparently the biggest threats in the game when we have people who are third place, second place, and winners. Who are apparently not threats. And so it's like, what do we continue to see each week that is happening of the people who are put on the block, you know? And I know that, you know, for some, this might not be, it's like, oh, well, maybe they're not playing well, or no, they're included in alliances. But it's like, these alliances that Bailey and Devon are in are not genuine alliances. Those are alliances, those groups of people made to cover their tracks in case Bailey and Devon became HOH. They're clearly not genuine. So I think, you know, it could be argued that, oh, you know, they had these relationships, they messed them up. But in reality, their Big Brother does reflect life on the outside. And because the cast is not fully diverse, and I think, you know, some people have wondered why even David is there, which could partially be one, either as a second chance and to improve on inclusion. It's an issue, an added layer of gameplay that Devon and Bailey have to worry about in addition to playing the game.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I think that a lot of the counter arguments that come that I can see in the chat sometimes, that I can definitely see in my mentions sometimes, is like, I like picking apart the arguments like, oh, well, you know, Devon said to Danny night one that Bay was her untouchable and they were in an alliance. And, you know, like other such things like, hey, Bailey, hey, look, Bailey does blow up on people. People should expect that she's going to blow up on them. But it's not about, I think, in my opinion, the individual arguments. It's about helping people understand all of the extra context that needs to be added to the situation, because it's not just a black and white situation. There are a lot of middle. There's a lot of nuance to the situation. It's not just racist, not racist. It is that there are so many things that you need to consider, that you need to be educated on, to understand when you go into a situation like this. So when Bailey blows up on somebody, you have to at least understand that she has dealt her entire life with people expecting her to blow up on people. And who knows? Maybe she is somebody that is naturally more prone to blowing up on people, or maybe she has been sort of like dealing with a situation where people expected of her so often that it happens. Like, have you ever had somebody just tell you like, hey, calm down. Why are you being so crazy? Calm down. You're like, I am calm. What are you talking about?
You're triggering me, Taryn.
Calm down. What are you doing? Whoa, calm. I am calm. I don't know what you're... I don't know why you're saying this. Ooh, boy, calm down. What are you talking about? I'm just sitting here. Wow, see, we knew you were crazy. Jeez. That's the thing, right? And I think that some people might feel like it's not fair because they might not be the person that has done that to them their whole life. They're just the person that walked by after the buildup to be like, hey, are you calm right now? And it's like, whoa, how is that fair? It's not my fault. I didn't do this to them. But like you, that's why it's important to educate yourself and important to understand the context that surrounds the situation and to have some empathy in for the people that have to deal with that. So that's, in my opinion, what the conversation is about. It's about helping people understand everything that comes into the situation that they have to deal with. And that's what Bailey is sobbing to Devon about, that like she cannot escape this. And yes, she blew up on people, but like that she doesn't want to have blown up on people.
Well, and to be clear, lots of other people in Big Brother have also blown up on people before. Yes. Like, you know, mm-hmm. This is not, and you know, people keep getting on this sticking note of like, but the truth is, Bailey and Devon are in an alliance and like we need to get rid of the pairs and stuff. And like, yeah, that's all true. And that's valid. And that's why this is more complicated than it is. But also part of the reason that they said day one that they wanted to be together was because there is a history of so few African-American people being on this show and Black people being on this show and people of color in general, that they wanted to change some of that by helping each other. And the reason we're in this scenario is because we keep having these lopsided casts. Like if this was the opposite and there were, you know, three or four white people in the cast, they might finally understand.
Or even 50-50. Like, yeah. But, you know, that's unfortunately, that's just not what we're seeing. And like you said, even if they're a duo, in terms of Big Brother, sure, we know the challenge is different and, you know, Bailey and Devon have done well on there. But I guess if we're looking at the context of Big Brother, there haven't been many challenges won between Bay and Day. And I think they're very capable of winning challenges. But that's also the question I have is, why are they such a threat as a duo if they're not winning challenges? I mean, I think one thing that I guess, you know, Enzo talked about last week is, you know, having power in this game is winning those comps, because then people are going to come to you and, you know, ask, actually talk game with you because you have that power. So to me, it's just like, I think targeting Bailey and Devon is kind of a waste of a game move. I personally, just because sure, they're going to work together, but maybe that could be two votes for you down the line. I think that there are bigger targets in this game, people who have won this game, people who have made it to the end, you know. To me, it's not really a valid duo. I think a Nicole Cody is more threatening. You know, Cody has made it to the end. Nicole has won this game. And the fact that they're not targeted, you know, there are these things where I guess sometimes it's like questioning why certain people are targeted when they're not threats.
Yeah, I think that's even accurate as far as like just somebody, I think maybe it was Christmas, was like, you know, Bailey is a way better competitor. Meanwhile, Devon was right there in the HOH. She was going to win it. She was there. She beat multiple people. But we're going to call out Bailey specifically as being the one that is a better competitor when we didn't even see it from her right there and then. It just doesn't make sense. They're just making things up.
Yeah, it's, now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So so that's going on there with Bailey and Devon. We are seeing that this sort of mood has, I think, set upon the house here. Ian had he had a panic attack during the veto, I think, or before the veto. He ended up not competing in the veto, even though he was selected. He apparently tried to self-evict the night before. This is not fun. I would like to leave. We've seen that multiple people in the season are like not super happy to be there. Tyler, is like off and on sometimes. I think Memphis wants to be there, but he's just grumpy. it's not helpful, Memphis. But it is a very somber house. And that's where we are. So Christmas is nominated Bailey and Devon. They competed in the veto, except for Ian. And Christmas won the veto. She does not intend to use it. And so, as of right now, Bailey will be going home. I don't think that she like wants to go home. If she had, like, she's pushing for another option so that both her and Devon can stay. But I think even she doesn't have her full heart in it. Swaggy is on Twitter, like, come home. Like, I'm pumped about this. We've got a great life. We're riding high. We've got Teslas that are orange and cool. come on back. So that's kind of where that is. Devon, on the other hand, is like very, head first into the game. Basically, she had a conversation with Christmas after the veto. Kind of got the sense, okay, you're not using the veto, even though you're telling me there's a chance. And she has immediately gone around locking in votes. This, in my head, I didn't tweet this out, but it was in my head that I had a comparison here. It's like when people get divorced and you run around to all the lawyers and you talk to all of them so that nobody else, your partner, can't use any of them, right? Like, that's a thing, right?
Is that a thing?
That right? I'm pretty sure that's a thing. I've seen enough of it on TV. Devon's running.
I'll let you know when I go through law school, and I'll see
there you go. Yeah,
thank you. I'll let you know when I get divorced and find a man. And watch,
that's probably a myth or something, right? Devon's running around, locking in the votes, which I do believe she will have. The discussion has mainly focused around, as you guys mentioned, that Devon has never won a competition before. Bailey has. I think she's won one competition,
yeah,
right?
That's
it. And it was just a crapshoot. So it's not like it's, I don't know. And then also they were just discussing this earlier today that, they were talking about how are they as jury voters. And Nicole, who has a vested interest in keeping Devon at the moment, pointed out that, well, she voted for me, so obviously she votes for the best player. But no, she's like, she hated me, but she said that she couldn't not vote for me because I played the better game. And they're like, oh, that's good. And then, we saw Bailey actually used this to campaign to Danny. She said, hey, you want me on the jury because I'm really good at poisoning juries or not poisoning them. So if I'm on the jury with you here and you keep me, like, that's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where we're at here, Serena.
I'm just so sad, honestly. I don't want to see either of them go, and I don't think there's any chance that it's not going to be Bailey, and that's disappointing also because of the fact that what we've seen so far of Davon's game has been disappointing, maybe is a good word to say. Like, oh, she's supposed to be so good at these reads. And like week one, week two, we're getting like a different language she's reading the book in. Like, I don't even know, a different book. She's in a different chapter. So
she's reading it upside down.
And I have so much stock in Bailey. So that's also where I'm just like.
In the stock watch or like just regularly?
Yeah, in the stock watch, I have a lot of big money on Bailey.
Oh, no, I just thought about the stock watch for me.
I really was like, you know, Enzo's got her. Enzo is like, he's going to pull her in. She's going to be fine. So right now, I'm upset because she's not going to get pulled in. He's not going to help her. And Davon, like you said, is like, she's on it. She's going to do the work. And she has these kind of like previous game like scenarios that people know about her, whether they're accurate or not. I mean, I could see Davon poisoning a jury. We haven't seen that, obviously, but you know, anybody could do anything they want in the jury. And overall, I'm just big sad, Taryn. Big sad.
Yeah. I mean, You I think you had a good mindset there with Bailey. Like, if Davon was leaving, I would have thought that Bailey, we talked about this, that she would have been in a good position moving forward. But it really just crashed around her, here this week. So not great, Geneva.
No. Yeah. And I think the one thing I thought about too was, I think very early in the game when, you know, Bay and Day decided to work together, you know, Bailey just really wanted to see the success of Davon. So I think she's kind of gotten to the point where she's like, you know, it's sad to go and that we're both on the block together. But I think it's gotten to a point for Bailey where she's just like, you know, if I have to go for Davon to thrive, I guess that's kind of the point where she's at. And I think one thing that we were kind of starting to see, I think, this evening on the feeds was, I guess, Christmas was talking to both Bailey separately and Davon separately. I mean, it was really interesting how Christmas was kind of with Bailey. It was just like, yeah, you know, we'll talk later. You know, I want to eat carrot cake or something and I want to, you know, have a break and then we'll talk, that sort of thing. And then I think with Davon, you know, Davon did try to suggest like, maybe we could do a back door. And Christmas is like, well, I don't really know, but not necessarily opposed, but you could tell it was very clear that Christmas didn't want to do that. But the thing about it was Christmas started talking about, oh, I think it's really important if women work together, even though I think previously, like a day or two ago, she's like, oh, I don't care about this gender thing. So now she's trying to rope in Davon to work with Nicole and Danny. And so potentially make a four there. So that's very interesting. So I know she's, I guess, trying to get the, you know, the groundwork to go there and at least setting up something for herself. But it seems like Christmas, though, still isn't really aware that, you know, Nicole's, you know, ally is Danny and not really Christmas. Because I think Christmas kind of thinks, oh, well, Nicole's been talking to me a lot. So I think we're good. But, you know, I honestly think that Christmas shouldn't have put either of them on the block, or if she was, she should have put one of them on the block, because, you know, Bailey really did like Christmas. So I think this is also in a sense like sending out someone who could have been your ally out the door. I don't know if that's necessarily good for your game. And, you know, kind of as we've seen a lot on seasons, like the men will take, you know, a woman and then like they'll end up dominating at the end of the game. And I kind of feel like Christmas kind of is in a position where that could happen to her again. So,
if she wants to work with the other women, backdoor someone else then who's not either of them. That would be great. yeah, it, from a game perspective, I mean, knowing everything that's out there, I definitely agree that Christmas should not have put either of Bailey or Davon up, or at the very least thought of some other backdoor. Taryn, explain to me how there have been multiple wall yellers and situations, and yet somehow, though, it doesn't seem like anybody is concerned about the winner, Nicole.
Because they don't work. But, that's what I've been saying all along.
I know they don't work, but then what can we do to make people concerned?
You can't.
They weren't concerned beforehand. That's the problem. The problem is, like, she existed before a wall was ever yelled over, and they did nothing. They did nothing.
They can work. They got to Ian. If Ian had won this HOH, who knows? He probably would have backfired, but he would have put up like a Cody, right? You can make some small amount of change, but it's more likely going to backfire because it's not necessarily that they don't see it. It's that the power structure is set up in such a way that it's not in their best interests short term to make a move. It's hard to be. I think it's hard to be in a situation where you're facing this massive conglomerate, and this is analogous to life as well, right? Where like you're facing this massive vehicle, this massive machine, and you know that if you just let it continue to grow and fester, that eventually it'll be bad for you. But right now, if you're fine, and if you go, but if you go against it now, it'll hurt in the short term, and you might lose the whole thing, but at least you'll have a chance in the long term. It's harder to get over that that bump of like I guess I have to do something now, even though it might completely cost me here. Especially when you're being convinced that like, okay, maybe Nicole and Cody are the center of this and they're running everything, but what about the people on the outs? Maybe I can, if I have an in with them, then maybe I don't need to take this super risky shot right now. Maybe I can work my way up, which is a good strategy if you're good enough at the game. We saw that Tyler was doing that, although it seems to have blown up in the face right now. But we have seen many people use that strategy effectively, much more so than you know, people who try to take big shots. It's usually what happens is the person that takes the big shot falls, and then everybody else gets to crawl over their corpse, right? So it's tough to like be that person to take the hits for everyone. That's essentially what Kacer was trying to do. He just never got power. So I do think it's tough, and I think that's why like a wall yeller giving information just isn't gonna cut it, unless you can throw a power of veto or an HOH key over the wall. I don't think it's gonna unfortunately end up usually doing all that much, especially in the short term here. But you know,
yeah, I think the one thing that I can understand from Christmas's point of view is it's like, what does putting up Tyler really do for her in her game? Like, is that necessarily like a huge benefit? So I think that if you know, Bailey and Davon really wanted a backdoor plan, you know, I think Christmas even kind of tried to ask like, you know, is there someone who's targeting me? Cause I think that makes a difference. Like if there are people coming for, you know, if people are coming for me, then I would be more willing to, you know, send them out through a back door. But it's also like, if I'm good with people and people aren't coming after me, why do I need to make a bunch of waves unnecessarily? So I can see that's probably kind of why Christmas isn't necessarily, you know, doing too much. But I also think that like, you know, I think a part of her game too is that she usually, you know, she just kind of goes with the flow. And I kind of wish that she would kind of take more agency into her game and like do something, because I just feel like she's just kind of doing what people tell her to do. And I would like to see a different, you know, a different game from her.
Yeah. So what's happened here with Christmas and Tyler and Danny is that Day and Bay did end up comparing notes with Danny and Nicole about everything that's been going on. And basically I talked about this morning. It's a bit of a Nicole Anthony situation where Tyler has become the scapegoat that, we weren't after each other beforehand. It was all Tyler's fault. And he was just getting us to play off against each other, which is true that he was trying to get them to play off against each other, but false that he was the cause of it. He was just relaying the information to accelerate the process, right? So Bailey and Devon are now under the assumption that that Tyler had completely snowed them, that Danny and Nicole were never coming for them. In fact, Bailey was like, I'm so grateful for what Danny and Nicole have done for me. And it's like, oh, no. But that's currently where they are. And so they came up with a plan to potentially get Tyler backdoored this week. And they approached Christmas about it, who was like, you mean my secret final two? No, thanks. And Christmas, just before this roundtable started, told Tyler about it. She did not tell him that they were planning on backdooring him, or that they were trying to backdoor him, but she told him so much information that he was able to infer. He was like, so they were trying to get me backdoored? And she was like, no. But he knows. He's like, but they didn't tell me about this after all of everything that happened. Tyler very quickly figured out everything that he needed to know. I think that what Christmas was trying to do is don't target them because they're my allies right now and it's useful for me to have them. But she told him so much information that it doesn't.
I don't think Christmas realizes that she's the Christmas and not the Tyler in this scenario.
Yeah.
If this was Tyler, Christmas, because she's looking at it from her perspective, like if I was the close ally of Tyler and he told this to me, this is how I would respond to it. But Tyler's like, no, they're trying to backdoor me. That's dangerous.
Yeah. So I do not know where Tyler's going to go with this. He was asking, wait, do Cody and Enzo know? Because they haven't told me yet either, which they haven't. And honestly, I'm confused as to why they haven't, because Cody and Enzo are telling a fake story to Danny, because Danny approached Cody and was like, why didn't you tell me about this? And Cody is telling the story that, well, it was mostly Bay and Day and they approached Tyler and he was sketched out by the wall yeller and, you know, you saying the thing in front of Nicole. And so he kind of like got nervous and he said some things to them. And then he came to me and I shut it down and now he's cool. It was just a blip on the radar that he was nervous for a minute. But now he's back in. You don't need to worry about him. And that's the reason I didn't tell you, is that I knew you were going to blow up on it. And so basically the same reason Christmas didn't want to tell Tyler that he was going to be backdoored. I didn't want the alliance to break up. I didn't want to be the catalyst to cause this all, which is, I think, a believable enough story. Danny is still hurt, but I think she's willing to accept it for the most part. But he hasn't talked to Tyler about this yet, which I think is a very bad idea, because now Tyler knows that Cody, or has a suspicion that Cody knows about this and hasn't told him, which is bad for him in that sense. And it's also bad in the sense that if Tyler goes to Danny or Danny goes to Tyler about this and he hasn't coordinated the story with Cody, then Cody's going to get blown up again with Danny and she's never going to trust him again. So I don't know what they're waiting for here and why they're not talking to Tyler, Mary. This is crazy to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And I think when it comes down to it, though, I do think that Tyler is going to be able to get out of this because I think he's a good enough player. But I don't know. If I was in this whole situation, I just think there's way too much conversation that's getting leaked from one person to another that could be held under wraps if they were a little bit better of players.
Yeah, I do think that, like, as far as, like, next steps past this vote, past maybe the next vote or two, this is definitely going to be an issue that is brought up again between Tyler and Cody. And there's going to be some animosity between them where, you know, one puts the other up or one of the alliance members has to put the other up. And I mean, it's kind of interesting right now. And I hope that it does develop into some kind of like butting heads where like somebody is potentially going home. But for right now, it's like big mistakes, you know, talk to each other. Let's communicate a little bit. You guys are supposed to be working together and it's, you guys are messing up right now with each other, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I just want to quickly say, yeah, I think like, this is kind of a very important time for them to be working together because, you know, I think there are already a lot of perceived cracks, especially I think, you know, like last week Enzo was like fed up with Danny and Devon and the whole girls thing. They're like, yeah, let's be the three boys. And it's like, if, you know, if Tyler and Cody aren't really talking to each other, not telling each other full information, and then there's a lot of a disconnect and other people are finding out certain things, then this is just going to cause even more of a fragment when this is kind of a point where it's really crucial, especially as we're headed into the jury phase, that they stick together, because then maybe we would potentially see an uprising of Danny, Nicole, Christmas, and potentially Devon, you know, that would really ultimately affect them. And then what they thought would get to them to the end of the game or close to the end of the game is not going to be good for them. And, you know, numbers, as we can see, are very crucial, and numbers will be really important in this vote, even though we're currently seeing that it's probably going to be Bailey going home.
Mm-hmm. Another thing to point out is that Christmas really, because I think she was trying to make sure Tyler didn't just actively target Nicole and Danny, she mainly pinned it on Danny over Nicole first of all. And then even above Danny, she made sure to pin it on Bay the most. That Bailey is really trashing you, Tyler, and he was like, oh no, like I knew this would happen. Christmas essentially pulling a lesser version of the Danny pulling on Bailey thing. Like, people are really using their history against them, that they're telling them lies or close to lies, exaggerations that are confirming their biases, and really, oh, I knew this was coming. And so I think a lot of the blame is probably falling on Bailey here, although again, I'm not entirely sure where Tyler will go with this information, but there's a lot going on. It's a lot happening here.
I mean, it would be nice. There's no reason for this to happen, but it would be nice if you could just have that conversation with Tyler and Bailey where they sort of get out like, hey, people are trying to use our history against us. The problem is Tyler's also using his history with Bailey against Bailey. So there's no reason.
I mean,
to do that.
Yeah, they're all using. I mean, that's kind of been the story of the season is other than like Janelle using Kevin's history in the game against him, and then nobody using Janelle's history in the game for her. You know, like, she was a loyal player. Why do you not think that she's a loyal player this time around? But yes, it's actually fascinating how much their previous experience really connects to this time around, and it really forecasts how they're playing between, you know, what happened to Nicole Anthony, the way that Kacer and Janelle play, you know, the trauma that Bailey has experienced, you know, the mistrust that Tyler has, and the jury fears that he has, and Devon, you know, like afraid of her alliance members betraying her. This veto competition, she said, was the same veto that she lost the last time she was evicted, and she really she got in her own head about it, and she was out first in this competition, and she was very upset. She's like, oh my god, it's happening again. The game messes these people up.
This game is a bad relationship, okay? But all of the people playing, they forgot that they were supposed to go home and learn from the mistakes and then enter a new relationship and change things based on those mistakes. But instead, they're just getting right back into that bad relationship again.
Yeah. You know, it's sometime in, you know, March, April, May, Big Brother, their ex, sent him a text like, hey, you up? And they were like, oh, Big Brother, you know we can't do this. And they were like, how does 40K sound? How does lots of new followers sound? And they were like, I don't know. Like, I promise it's going to be better. We're gonna protect you. It's gonna be great. I'm like, okay. And then they get there and they're like, I knew this was gonna happen. And now they all want to go home. Yeah, that's where we're at.
I feel like everybody needed some like really, really, really serious therapy. Like, I don't know if this actually happens, but I feel like as soon as you walk out the door, they should have you like signing up for somebody to talk to for at least 6 months of like service. And they just like, it's like, you know, like people have a baby, it's like painful and whatever. And then, oh, let's have another one. They just forget about it. And then they're right there in the delivery room again. They're like, I hate my life. And dang, you know, this is going to happen to you.
Yeah. So, and like the fans are all like toxic friends who are like, no, they were great. You guys were great together. Come on. We really want to see you guys together again. We want to have the friend group back. It's like,
yeah, it's so difficult. It's difficult. 'Cause I think especially for like Nicole Anthony and David, you know, they were just there a year ago. And I think it seems like that's really not enough time to be separated from the Big Brother house and to go back in, especially if you experienced a lot of, you know, like trauma and drama within that experience. 'Cause, you know, probably, you know, if you had won, it's like, okay, sure. But I think that's the one thing that I've typically seen as well, is that people don't, you know, process what happened to figure out what they should do to improve and do better. Like I was, like you would have hoped that if David was coming into an all-star season, he would have studied up a bit more on, you know, how Big Brother works and that sort of thing. But unfortunately, he didn't really take, you know, any of those experiences and learn from them. He just kind of came in as if nothing really happened or if he was just in the house again. So I think that's the one thing, is that even I think, for example, like when we look at Paul, I think Paul didn't necessarily learn from those experiences when he came into the house a second time, because he kind of did the same exact thing, which caused him to lose again by one vote. So that's kind of where I just think sometimes it's really important to probably not only just take time away from Big Brother, you know, if you're going to come back in, but also process it and think about maybe what you did in your game that you could work on and improve on. And so that's why it's kind of sad to see, you know, like Bailey, like I saw, it looks like she was improving this time around, but then now things are just kind of crashing and burning.
Yeah. All right. Are you guys ready for the Legacy Watch? All right.
To it.
Let's bring it up here. This is where we were at last week, where we had Janelle at the top in the Pantheon. Then we had Tyler and Kacer in the top tier. In the upper tier, we had Ian, Enzo, Cody, Nicole, and Danny. In the middle tier, we had Bailey, Keisha, Memphis, Devon, and Christmas. In the low tier, we had Kevin and Nicole Anthony. And then in the very bottom tier was David. Let's see how things have shifted in the meantime. Again, I sent out a survey earlier today on Twitter where you could put these players into their proper tiers here for their legacy. And I can tell you that this week, David remains at the bottom of the bottom tier.
I think plot twist, that's not going to change.
Hey. You have not yet seen the David underdog edit when in the final seven, he goes, I think there might be an alliance of six that Memphis is running. And it's like, whoa, somebody finally figured it out. Memphis is running the house.
That's not a reveal. That's called numbers and math.
He's on the block and he's like, I figured them out. And it's like, wow, he has so much potential. Let's bring him back again, guys.
Nope.
I think it should have been for a second chance. I think there needed to be like a second chance season or something like that, because I think David would have been a good fit for that, because, you know, I think there are so many players that didn't really get to show their potential. But I think playing with a bunch of all-stars, people who have been in the house for, you know, many, many days, weeks, months, and, you know, playing with them when you didn't really get to play that much, it's just hard to compete. But, you know, maybe there's a possibility of David getting to low tier status. He's come close to winning some competitions, so maybe once he wins a competition, and I know that's one thing he keeps, like, you know, I think talking about, he's like, I will prove myself in this game once I win a competition. So maybe once David wins a competition, maybe that, like, HOH, it would be really interesting to see what he would do in that situation. But right now, I think I agree with, you know, the general audience that he's kind of, you know, at the bottom there.
Yeah. All right. Above David, Nicole Anthony, still hanging out in the low tier. She hasn't dropped to bottom tier, but she is still second to last on this list. Not doing too well. No real movement here for Nicole Anthony, as she is out of the game and has tarnished her legacy in playing this time around, Serena.
Yeah, she's fine right there. I think that's her lane. She belongs. You know, the TikTok that came out, I'm just like...
I didn't see the TikTok.
What oh, you have it.
You should.
You should. There's like a black and white scene. It's a scene with like words that she's been called. And I'm just like, you know, that could actually, in my opinion, drop her down. But I think low tier is right where she belongs.
Should we send them to the TikTok for next week? Is that important information? Okay.
Yeah.
For me, it was.
Homework? Find the TikTok.
Yes.
Oh, no. I mean, I think that we as a fandom should accept that it is perfectly okay to be a rootable underdog one season and maybe not be the best player, but like, you're fine. You have a couple good reads, and then don't be sad when you find out that you weren't actually that great of a player. Just be happy that you got to play.
Look, for a brief moment of time, you got to feel like you were a good player. I don't know. So I was trying to do the be happy you loved and lost.
But. Yeah, is there? I don't know if there's like a thing where you should just say, look, if you're America's favorite player, like, just take that.
Never
and like
come
call
back.
It a day. Yeah, call it a day, because it's only going to go down from there. Like,
unless
even
you're
if you win, right? It, but if there's only one Janelle every blue moon, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think the problem is that when you win America's favorite, you're like, I'm Janelle. So,
yeah.
All right. So above Nicole Anthony remains Kevin Campbell, who is sitting here. Actually, we did see a shift here. I mean, Kevin Campbell moving up a little bit, still in the same spot, but his score has improved. We seem to be on a potential upward trajectory for Kevin Campbell, which I do think, I feel like I've been saying this every week. I do feel like he's got that underdog edit potential. He sticks around long enough.
Yeah, he sticks around to the final seven. He can be like, okay, guys, Memphis made a six.
Exactly. I'm not kidding about this, guys. It's going to happen to one of these people.
If that happens, then they should be dropped to an even lower tier because it took them that long.
Sure, but the audience doesn't care. I'm telling
you. Who are
we
doing this for?
But yeah, I think, you know, he's increased a bit for some people. He won a competition, he won a veto. I mean, was it make or break necessarily for his game? I don't know necessarily. I think Kevin has kind of been perceived as a pawn. But, you know, I think he's integrating to the house a bit more. But, you know, I still know that it seems like this is really, really tough for Kevin. I think maybe it was like last Saturday, I woke up, watched the feeds, and I saw Kevin talking to himself and his husband. He was also pretending to talk to Cody, I think. And, you know, he was talking about just really like how he's not really you know, fitting and meshing with this new school idea of Big Brother. I think it's gotten to a point for Kevin where he's like, you know, I'm not used to, you know, spreading all these lies and doing all these, you know, things that all these new school house guests do. So I think it's very difficult for him to come in, you know, many seasons later and play a new style of the game. And I think it's just been difficult and emotional for him to process. But I, you know, it seems like things are slightly improving, but yeah, I'm not too sure, but I do see a little bit of growth.
Yes. So above Kevin last week, we had Christmas, who managed to hit the middle tier. This week, Christmas has tarnished her legacy and has dropped down, back down into the low tier. People are not pleased with Christmas. They're trying to cancel Christmas, guys. When Christmas says things like, oh, I'm going to get shot when I nominate Bailey and Devon, I think you might understand why.
I think low tier is still a little bit iffy. I mean, her first season, guys, she had a broken foot and she won a race, a foot race. That doesn't make any sense. The fact that she won an HOH right now by doing nothing is, I guess, equivalent.
It's on par with Christmas.
Yes. I still think, like, you know, she has been playing a relatively good game. She hasn't been a target. She hasn't been on anybody's hit list. She's made good connections. Her and Tyler are going to the end. I can 100% see Christmas sitting at the end of this game. And I don't know if that's really, I mean, maybe it is low tier status if she's just like going to lose again anyway. But I don't know. I think she's been doing relatively decent.
I think she's been playing fine as a, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, a minion? I don't know, as a lackey? Like, I'm not exactly sure what I'm going for here, but like, until I hear people in the house mention, wow, Christmas is actually doing well, or like, ooh, I could see voting for Christmas, until I hear that, I feel like everyone is relatively on the same page about, like, even though she's definitely playing better, we're still keeping her as a, you know, as a goat or as a person that we can get rid of later or whatever. I just don't see, I do think she's playing much better than her first time, but her first time I would put her at like below the lowest bottom tier here. So I feel like she's definitely improved, but I just don't know if anything that she's doing, if she still has an idea of like, how can she win though? Now, I know this is about legacy, and so that's not exactly the same thing. So,
well, I think the estimation of her game she's been steadily rising throughout the season.
Sure.
I actually personally am of the opinion that Christmas has played well this week. I agree that her legacy should drop. I don't think she's playing well enough that her legacy is like immune to her behavior, if that makes sense.
And that's the thing. It's like, it's part of the reason why I do feel like it's an okay thing, except for when she volunteers to go on the block, to like buy stock in her. Like, I think that she's playing decently well. I think her relationships are fine. But just when I think of, if she makes it far into this game and gets put up and taken out easily because, hey, we were all just hanging around for her for this moment, or if she gets to the end and loses, or gets to the final three and then sacrifices her path to the end again like she did last time. If she does that, to me, her legacy is almost even worse, because it's like, you played better and yet you still didn't understand what you needed to do to win the game or to change anything. Like, she's definitely playing better, and I'll give her that, but I'm just not sure when it comes to legacy, like, has she changed other people's image of her as being just a loyal soldier?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both, I feel like she's both in the house sticking, and out of it.
Yes.
Yeah, she's kind of sticking to the status quo, doing what she's done in the past. And, you know, in her first season, she also did some problematic things when she was following Paul to Dominique. You know, so like, this is like a continuous narrative that I'm seeing with Christmas. And so, you know, when I was at the beginning of the season, I was like, actually Christmas is improving with the social game and I'm feeling very impressed by Christmas. But it's like, you know, saying you're worried about getting shot when we have seen that Christmas has a record. You know, I didn't really mean to bring that up, but I just feel like it's a little hypocritical to say things like that when, you know, right. You have certain things that you've done. And so I just, in that regard, it's just like hard for me to have respect. And then also she was like, yeah, I'll go on the block as the replacement nominee.
And I'm
pretty sure I'm right about this, but one of them has a gun tattoo.
Yeah.
And it's not Bailey.
Look, right. I mean, the thing is with when it comes to legacy and when it comes to like playing well, I mean, in her first game, she didn't have a horrible social game. She actually had a relatively good one. I mean, she had a pair with Josh and she was good with Paul and whatever. So she had a fine social game her first time, and it's definitely better this time. And she's won a couple comps because she's not injured, and that's great. But I still see her as that same person who thinks the game is about being the, you know, playing for the team and being the one willing to go on the block. And it's just for me, like, I lost my legacy respect for her when she, you know, told Josh, hey, don't take me to the end because I wouldn't take you, you know, if you win the comp, when she said that at Final Three. Like, that for me was like, okay, this is a person who does not care about winning the game. And while I think she's definitely doing better this time, and there may have been, you know, extra factors on her last season or on season 19 for her to do that, I'm just not sure that I'm still in a position thinking that she's going to actually turn it around and not just not make bad moves like that, but that she would actively try to win in the end. And that's what I want to see. Like, at what point is she playing 100% for herself? Because, like, you say things, you know, like she didn't tell Tyler everything, but she told him enough that wasn't keeping enough to herself to use it in a beneficial way.
And here's what I want to point out about the Legacy Watch that I feel like maybe this is on me that we haven't talked enough about it, but these players care a lot about their legacies. Like, they are playing in this house to protect their legacies, to build upon their legacies. And with that in mind, I think it's worth talking about, like, how terribly they are playing in that regard. Christmas comes in with a legacy of being a minion, being a follower. And I do not believe that she has done well to persuade the audience that that's not her game. She constantly talks about being loyal, and I think that's good for her game inside the house, but it's not good for her legacy.
Right. Right. I need to see her in the diary room saying,
exactly,
here's the reasons why me volunteering for the block was somehow a really good move to build my legacy and to prove that I'm an all-star. But I'm just hearing, oh, I can't wait to win comps, to be a team player. I can't wait to help my team, to, you know, I'll go on the block for my team. And she knows deep down it's not a good idea, but she's still doing
it. Talk to the cameras. It's not always going to air those DRs.
Not a team game either. It's an individual game. At the end, one person's going to win. So, you know, she has to make moves. And that's where I'm just like, putting up Bailey and Davon is not a move. You're just helping appease other people who want to make that move and get them out, because they might be dangerous for their game. But I don't really feel like that in long term will help Christmas.
And Big Brother 19 was my first season live, which is why I'm so hung up on Christmas. But we can move on. In case anyone's like, why'd you spend 10 minutes on Christmas?
All right. Well, next up, above Christmas, this time in the middle tier, we have Bailey, who has dropped below Keisha, Memphis, and Davon to the bottom of the middle tier. It's actually not a big drop for Bailey points wise. It's actually a very, very minor drop. It's just that she was very close to them before. And we're going to see that somebody in that group moved up. Won't spoil who, but you probably know. But she was very, very close to all three of them prior to this week. She moved down a little bit this week, and that has dropped her to the bottom of them. So it may appear to be a massive drop. It's actually a very minor one that looks a lot bigger than it actually is, but it's a drop nonetheless. Serena, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've really, you know, gone pretty deep with Bailey, what's been going on with her this week, what's been going on with her and Devon as a pair and as individuals, and they're on the walk. And I mean, you know, even, you know, we brought it up that she would even, you know, willingly or not willingly, you know, give the option to like sway a jury, you know. So we're bringing up things from her past season that could, you know, potentially keep her here, which I don't think it will, but could keep her here for certain reasons. And, you know, if it's the same exact thing that you might do, then again, that kind of like keeps you, you know, kind of loves you out, brings you back down to, you know, being in your humble spot. It's definitely sad to see Bailey there, because, you know, as I said, I was rooting for her full force in the last few weeks. So, yeah, poor Bailey.
I mean, it's so weird too. Like on Thursday, we had this really cool moment where she was taking the braids out of her hair, and it's that's kind of like going to be, I think, probably like the last, you know, like peaceful, like happy moment of Bailey's day in the Big Brother house, probably forever. But it was such a cool, it was such a great moment. I think a good moment to end on too. Especially when we're talking about legacy. It didn't get aired. I mean, it happened right before the live show. I'm guessing it's not going to be aired now because there's lots of other stuff to air, but it was fun. It was good. Live feeds wise, I liked it, at least.
Something I never thought I would actually see on the Big Brother live feeds, but it was nice to see, you know, I think other people getting involved in that, because it is a huge process to take down braids. So it was cool to kind of see people, you know, come together to support Bailey in that sense. But of course, you know, so much has happened since then that, you know, it's unfortunate, but I think it was something I was never expecting to personally see, just because, I don't know, that, you know, I feel like when I've seen like Devon, she's usually doing that sort of stuff herself, like when she's mm-hmm. been in the house in the past. So it was cool. It was different. I was actually quite surprised.
Also, I'm an idiot. Of course they're going to air it. They need to explain why her hair is different.
Well, they might, you know, I think recently it's been good to see that Big Brother is starting to show these important discussions. So I actually wouldn't be surprised if they randomly fit that in in the segment tomorrow. I think I wouldn't be too surprised to see it.
Yeah,
I think because we're trying to
do that. I was very wrong. I fully expect to see it in tomorrow night's episode. All right. So above Bailey, we've got Keisha, who has dropped below Memphis. And Devon. Keisha actually went up a little bit this week. Just a very, very small amount. But I think she's starting to a little bit rebound. Starting to be like, maybe not being on the season is actually a good thing for my legacy. So that's where Keisha is. We don't need to talk too much about Keisha. Above Keisha, we have Danny dropping down from the upper tier below Memphis, below Devon. Danny down in the middle tier. In the preseason, Danny was number 3 behind Janelle and Tyler in the top tier, and she has fallen far now in the middle of the middle tier here for Danny. It's been a rough week for her. I think her reputation has been suffering all season long, in terms of like how she's been behaving. And then over the last week, her game has been tanking as well. And I think her legacy is finding that it has no legs to stand on here, Mary.
It's weird when talking about legacy for Danny, because she's such a different person and player this time than she was in the past. And I love a lot of what Danny did on her previous seasons. And for me, I'm finding myself forgetting that it's the same person, which speaks, I think, to the drop in legacy. And I don't know if that's just time away, if it's you're playing so hard and kind, it's like kind of differently. I mean, there's elements that are similar to her games in the past, but I think that she came in really wanting to play so hard and just not realizing that people were going to see through it and talk. And then of course there's everything you talked about with her reputation as well. So all of those things combined, I get it. I don't think that she's down and out. Like, I could see her rising up a little bit, possibly, depending on how things happen, but she's going to have to do a lot of damage control.
Yeah. It's not looking great here for Danny. No. Not looking great. Okay. All right. Above Danny, we've got Memphis, who has fallen behind Devon this week. Memphis did rise a little bit in the points here, but overall is still at around a similar spot in the middle tier. Again, small bump for Memphis, I think, continuing to just kind of like chill in the background, is doing wonders for both his game and his reputation, at least. I think that Memphis remains a wild card, both in the game and legacy wise. I think a lot of it is going to come down to, is he able to turn it on in the right way in the back half of the game when he starts really playing, Serena?
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen from Memphis so far, yeah, he's a little bit of a grumpy old snooze fest, but also it's really fun to see his, like, old school mentality, like, all for one for all, whatever. Like, he wants to win the game for himself, and he knows that it's not an actual team game, and I wish that some of these other players would, you know, play like that, especially this season, just because of, you know, all of the different years that they come from and the fact that it's a little bit boring overall. But yeah, I mean, mid-tier seems pretty standard and accurate for Memphis.
Yeah. All right. Well, above Memphis, we've got Devon in the middle tier, close to the upper tier. She's nearly there. A big jump for Devon. She was at the close to the bottom of the middle tier and made a big jump forward all the way to the top, nearly reaching the upper tier this week. I'm honestly not entirely sure what's changed exactly for Devon. I mean, I think that perhaps the almost HOH win, the fact that she's being targeted, that's, I think also probably I would guess is that for a long time, people have thought that Devon was the one that was going to go and not Bailey. And now that Devon is going to stay, we've seen them, we've seen their positions kind of flip. And so now Devon is ahead of Bailey in the legacy watch, and Bailey has fallen. But either way, Devon is now at the top of the middle tier, just knocking on the door of the upper tier. I remain of the opinion that this is criminally low for the person with probably the most like iconic gif of the entire show, who I like, despite the fact that she hasn't made it very far in the game ever, is still one of the biggest names, is still a three-time player. Like, that's a legacy, but the audience has disagreed with me thus far. But they are on the rise here, Geneva.
Yeah, so I think the thing about Devon, I think you're very accurate when it comes to why Devon, I think, has risen in the rankings for people, is because I think we've seen, especially today and in the last couple hours before we got on this roundtable, is that it's clear that, you know, Devon is now in a better position than she was a week ago, I think, even though she's on the block, because, you know, Christmas really wants her there. You know, Nicole wants her there. Seems like Danny's is wants her there more than Bailey at this point. So I think that, you know, potentially this is a good thing for Davon's game. Unfortunately, she's probably going to lose Bailey here. But I think that, you know, potentially going with this group of women, if it's actually like a serious, genuine group, that, you know, they just need to win some more comps and then they could potentially do some damage. But I think because, you know, Day is having that momentum with, you know, she was really good in that one comp. The only reason she lost was probably just because she had that, you know, that moment, and hearing about the veto, that was probably just like, you know, the nerves getting to her. But I definitely think that there's a potential to see, you know, an increase for Day. Now, I think when it comes to the legacy, I think that Day, like when she, you know, when she gets out of the house, I think she's still going to have the love and constant support that she always has. I think that she's probably one of the more well-liked house guests that are in that house right now. And I don't think her legacy is going to be tarnished in that regard. But I think it seems like a lot of people, when they're basing their scores and their rankings here, they're really trying to, because this is her like third time around, they're trying to go on the basis of the gameplay. And I think what we've seen is that, you know, the Davon that we've seen in those early games that we've known her to be, you know, smart and being able to fact check certain things, it's not really working in her favor right now. So I think there's a lot of hesitancy to give her, you know, maybe that good upper tier right now. But it would be interesting to see, you know, if she does survive this eviction, if she's able to win HOH, or if, you know, she actually does work with the women moving forward, how that's going to come into play for her game.
When you have something like the Legacy Watch, I do think it is always debated of like, how much does being a good player factor in versus being a good character, being a memorable person? Because I think there's plenty of people in Big Brother history who I consider to be like legends of the game, whether or not they were good or whether or not how far they got. And Davon, I think, is definitely in that area. I think that she's playing better this time as well, which is probably partially the reason she went up. But I agree with you about the GIF and everything. It's like, for me, there's only so far that she could drop because she's still going to have that and be that memorable thing. Be that memorable thing? No, have that memorable thing? Be that memorable person.
Memorable moment.
Memorable moment. Yes.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just... Janelle's in the pantheon. We're talking gameplay. I mean, she's made it to the final three a couple times.
Exactly. That like, should tell you. That should tell you almost everything, though.
All right. So above Davon, we've got Cody Calafiore, who has fallen below Nicole Franzel. He actually had a decent drop this week. I imagine again over the past week, we saw Cody being outplayed by Tyler, getting very frustrated, getting put into a corner. And I think that I've been saying this all season, that the voters have just been waiting. They've just been waiting for Cody to slip up so that they could dock him some points. I think this is what's happening here. He very close to falling out of the upper tier here. But he is going to hold on. Ultimately, Serena.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is fine. I do think, like, obviously he went to the end of his original season when he was in the big alliances, and he continues to kind of play that same kind of game mentality, except for this time that he's the one in charge, kind of, and he's the one that has the most say. Obviously, like you said, Tyler kind of outplayed him this week or this past week, and he just needs to watch out for that. He needs to remember that he's the one that needs to be at the top tier. He's the one that needs to be controlling things, and he can't necessarily rely on other people to give him what's in his best interest. I mean, if he did do that, he would need to be better partnership with Christmas, because she would do that. But Tyler's got Christmas in the bag, the Christmas bag. Exactly. But I think he's still, you know, I think he's maintaining pretty well.
Yes. All right. So above Cody, we have Nicole, who is going to remain almost exactly the same here. No real movement here for Nicole in the upper tier. Above Nicole, we have Enzo. I was wrong. I read it wrong. It's not Enzo anymore. It's actually Ian, who has fallen below Enzo to land above Nicole Franzel. Now, this is not a fall for Ian. It's actually a rise for Enzo. So here we go. Ian here, continuing to fall. Ian started in the preseason in the top tier and has been steadily falling from there ever since. And here he lands just above Nicole Franzel Geneva.
Well, you know, I guess when it comes to Enzo specifically, I think he is generally in a, you know, pretty good position. I don't think he really has too much trouble. He has a lot of people who like him. He has a lot of people who are working with him. You know, I think we've seen that he doesn't necessarily have to, I guess, say too much right now, but also wants to make sure that he's good with everybody. I think he just has a lot of, you know, solid relationships and people have his back. And so I think that's really just going to help him as he goes further and further to the game. I know that he obviously is, would potentially be a big threat because he is playing a solid game and, you know, he's won an HOH, but I just think that there are other targets out there and there are different pairs and different groups of people who I think are perceived as bigger threats. And I think he might just kind of slip under and, you know, may prevail in the end, depending on really what happens or what comes to play. I mean, if there does end up being a dominant female alliance that forms together that we're starting to see potentially be a thing, then, you know, maybe Enzo's in trouble in that sort of situation. But right now, I think, you know, he doesn't really have any huge issues with anyone. I don't like in comparison to, like, I think, you know, Cody's having some problems right now. Tyler's having some issues in his game right now. And so I just think that he's overall in a pretty decent spot where a lot of people like him. His social game is going pretty well. And I think that, you know, people are willing to protect him.
I want to just take back like half of what I said about Enzo in my preseason thing, because he's the one who I've been the most impressed with. And I think just because I found the whole brigade thing and all of season 12 to be kind of boring, I think that he is hitting that sweet spot of personality and age where he's like, I can be the goofy guy and like not be taken as seriously and yet actually starting to use some of those, you know, nuggets of real strategy that we saw with the brigade and doing so much more with it than I ever thought he was going to this season. I was afraid he was either going to be like the just out in front, immediately targeted for going with that same strategy, or he was going to be more in a situation like Kevin's in, where he's on the outs and people are just not really taking him seriously in that way. So I feel very proud of Enzo for improving his game. Much love from me. Ian, on the other hand, I feel like even though this is not a drop really for you in score, it's just being surpassed. I think Taryn would probably say, Ian, you know better than to put such stock in wall yellers, and that's not looking good, maybe.
It's not looking good. Yeah, I feel like, you know, I think that one of the ways that I was looking at Enzo's original game was, you know, it really was Matt Hoffman that came up with the blueprint for what made the brigade work. So the credit, like, for a lot of their dominance should go to Matt. And then Hayden was really the person doing a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of both Hayden and Matt in terms of like competitions and like pulling people in and keeping everything steady. Whereas Enzo just kind of like hung out with the bros all summer. And wasn't necessarily an essential part of making that work. And so when I was looking at Enzo's game, it was like, well, it's not that impressive when you compare him to these other two people. But those other two people, I mean, Matt has ideas, at least very good. Hayden, a great player. And so I think the thing that that at least I think I didn't give enough credence to when it comes to Enzo is that he still has that blueprint. It's not like because he didn't come up with it, he can't use it anymore, right? Like, he is somebody who is capable of taking that in, learning that it worked this time. Let's do it again. And he is very naturally good at building off of it. And he just, that's it. And he just agrees with you, and he's just a hype man. And it makes you feel like he's on your side, and you get to just kind of like, oh, Enzo's a number. We can rely on Enzo. And it works for him. Again, we've said this from the start. The question becomes, can he win the game? I think he can, especially now that he's winning comps. But that'll be the big thing to look at. But here we go. Enzo above both Nicole and Ian. Not going to let no champs beat me in the Legacy Watch, yo. That's it. That's it. It's done. All right. Here we go. Above Enzo, last week in the top tier was Tyler and Kacer. This week, Tyler has fallen below Kacer. This is a drop for Tyler. It is also a boost for Kacer. Both things happened. Kacer, who in the preseason was low upper tier criminal, shot his way into the top tier pretty quickly, and is now, oh, he's so close to the Pantheon, guys. Come on.
Maybe he'll be really great on social media and we can still nudge him up a little bit.
Maybe. He came very close, but he is going to just be at the top of the top tier. He's close to that Pantheon. So, Kacer, we need you to play one more time. We need you to play Sequester. Maybe that'll do it.
Yes, please play Sequester. I'd love to see that. I also think that, you know, I kind of like how he left the house. I liked his final speech. I liked that he called out people because people aren't playing this game. It's very disappointing to watch the new school version of Big Brother right now. And I feel bad that people didn't really want to like play with Kacer. Didn't appreciate Cody's goodbye message, because honestly, I think Kacer is much better than Cody. And I mean, Cody gave away, I'd say $450,000, because, you know, he did get $450,000 that he could have gotten. So I don't know. I just think that, you know, Kacer still has his legacy. I think people love him even more now that he has, even that he's left the house. It was disappointing to see him go 10-0. But, you know, people knew they didn't have the votes, and so they didn't want to rock the boat. But, you know, of course, I kind of wish they did and took out Christmas. But, you know, I guess that's not what we're going to see. But I think he could definitely bring it up, depending on if he does increase that social media presence.
Yeah. I said this on Twitter. I said this in the first one of these we did, that for me, Kacer is in the Pantheon. Kacer is perhaps my favorite player of all time. I really genuinely feel like he is the standard that every player should be held to when they play this game. That he comes into the game willing to play hard. It's all game for him. It is about strategy. It is about playing the game hard, and it is also about using the platform in a responsible way and trying to make a difference and trying to represent himself well in a way that is not like, you know, follow me on Instagram afterwards so I can sell you things, but in a way where he's genuinely there to make a difference. Like this Could you imagine a cast of Pacers? Could you imagine how great that would be to not have to deal with the stuff that we have to deal with every season, because we have like good, intelligent, thoughtful, you know, people that want to game hard and make good TV. Like, I feel like, you know, I love Kacer. I don't think Kacer's that unique. I know plenty of Kacers in my life. Like, these people exist. We should be finding them and putting them on reality TV.
Well, they found one, and, you know, he's so close to that pantheon. Right, yeah. We're almost there. You know what? It was a short joy, but it was a joy to have him here.
Yes.
And I think everything that's been said about Kacer is just like you're saying, more of a reason why we need people. Like, maybe he needs to start a YouTube channel or something. But the thing is, like, that's what's good about Kacer is, like, he's too classy for that. Like, not nothing against YouTube channels, like, I have one, but I'm saying that it's the fact that he, like, doesn't know how good he is, you know?
Yeah, Kacer would not be caught dead on a Legacy Watch podcast about Big Brother. He's too classy.
Yeah. He's humble AF. That's it. Yeah. Humble AF.
Yeah, Kacer doesn't recognize Kacer is probably currently experiencing like a bunch of people being like, "Oh, Kacer, your body." He's like, "Oh, whoa, I didn't realize what is going on. Why are there shirtless pictures of me all over the internet?" Like, he doesn't know how attractive he is. I think that's Kacer's whole personality.
And I think that makes him even more likable, that he is, it's not like he's like, "Oh yeah, I am, I know I'm attractive, I know I'm great, I know I'm whatever." I think it's great to see, you know, a humble player. And I don't know, I think also maybe part of it also has to do with certain players who, you know, played in old school, you know, and what we've seen nowadays with social media and how it's evolved over time, and those newer players. I think for a lot of them, it is about maybe more about, you know, the influencer status. I mean, David really apparently wanted to go on Love Island this year rather than Big Brother. So, you know, I think, you know, maybe the certain priorities, and I know the game has meant so much to Kacer in his life. And, you know, it was just more than the game for him to go in the game when he had that, you know, exit interview with Julie. So I think it's really special that we were able to see him for another season.
I will give this addendum. Kacer does know that he's intelligent. That's one thing he's not shy about.
Yes. Yeah, but he's not walking around saying what his IQ is.
No, he's not. Yeah. So also, we should talk about Tyler with a bit of a drop here. This is the lowest he has ever been. Which comes off of a week where he, I think, probably reached his peak in terms of gameplay. He was doing very well last week. He was really, people from all sides of the audience were like, "Yes, Tyler." And I think almost because of that, when it came crashing down, people are a little bit extra like, "Ooh, no, Tyler, no." Because from a personality standpoint, I think that he is disappointing a lot of people with the way that he is handling the Bailey stuff, myself included. I do not like the conversation that he had with Cody, where he was like, "It's not fair that essentially he was saying it's not fair that Bailey is making this a race thing," which is not fair of Tyler, in my opinion. On top of that, his game is sinking here, and he has just been kind of like chilling. It took until just now for him to finally wake up to the fact that that he's in some trouble, and that is not great. It does feel like his head is not always in the game, that he kind of takes some breaks sometimes. He's not gaming hard enough. That's been my critique for his game this season since the beginning. When it's on, it's great. When it's off, It's not. So I think a combination of those things has caused him to drop, not by much, but a decent little chunk here. So this is where we're at here with Tyler, Serena.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of what we've seen as far as his communication with his alliance, all of this drama as far as Danny goes, what's going on with him and Cody, and also what you're saying about as far as like the race thing. Like, he literally brought up to somebody, whoever it was in that clip, about like the women in Big Brother don't get the credit that they deserve, but apparently the black people don't either. So I don't think you could say one thing and not agree with the other thing. But yeah, I do think that like he needs to like dig in a little deeper right here. And I would love to see that from him, because we know how well he can play. And I think he's just like on a ledge right now that he needs to take a step back from.
Yes. Okay. So, of course, Janelle remains the queen of the Legacy Watch, and she's going to remain in the Big Brother pantheon. No real major shift there for Janelle. She's still solidly there. And that's what we got for the Legacy Watch this week. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me. Any final thoughts here on the week, on what's been happening, Mary?
Yeah. You know, coup d'etats.
Coup d'etats.
That's a good one. Yeah, we just need look, I'm not a twist enthusiast, but cool. I feel like anything goes for All Stars. I don't really care.
Do you have a guess for who has the third power and what it is?
Yeah, my guess is it's not Davon, and it's probably not a coup d'etat. So
I think you answered that question with the wrong method. I think that was a BB rewind.
Yeah. Ooh, BB rewind. We could do that. Where's the button? You can push a button. Come on. What about what's the takeover? Let's do that. Hey, who cares, right?
All right.
Throw it all out there.
Serena, any final thoughts?
I think, you know, it's been a little bit sad, depressing, snoozy, sleepy. But I think this week, you know, kicked up a little bit. We saw some good tears. I always love to see people crying. I don't know why. But I'm hoping that, you know, after this week, we do see some shifts in power dynamics. Please, somebody that's not in this major alliance win an HOH, for goodness sake. But yeah, I think there's hope on the horizon.
I'm just picturing you, Serena, in front of the computer, and then you start to hear crying, and you like switch over to the feeds, and you're just like,
yes, all right, you cry.
Here
you
we
cry.
Go. Let's get the popcorn, guys.
Those salty tears taste good.
Okay, Geneva, any final thoughts?
Yeah, just to go along with the tears, I think it's quite interesting that a lot of the people who are crying are people who are fine. They're in good spots in this house. I'm just like, what are you crying about? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's entertaining as a viewer, but it's also just like, you know, Nicole, I don't get it. You
Maybe
know, there
that's
are certain
the
people
key. Cry.
Yes.
People like it.
Exactly. It's a game move, you know, it's part of the strategy. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, of course, it's really unfortunate to see Bay or, you know, potentially be going home here and being split from Davon, because I really wanted to see them work together and play this game together. So it is disappointing in terms of the game of where it is. I really hope we have some sort of a shakeup. I'm surprised with it. I was hoping like maybe with this All-Star season, maybe we would have had an America's Vote yet or something like that. Especially because I know production must know that the audience as a general is not necessarily super happy with what is happening. And also I just think that the game is just for repeating itself every single week. So I'd really like to see, you know, that shift, that power dynamic change. Somebody else win. I'd like to see a Devon win, or even a Kevin win or something, or a David. I would be intrigued to see, you know, what they end up doing, or Ian. I just want to see somebody else in power that's not Cody, not Tyler, not Enzo. You know, I think that's something that we've continued to see. And, you know, Christmas is not really taking risks in this game. So I just want to see something happen that we're not going to expect. So maybe we have to get to the jury phase for that to happen. Maybe people are going to shake things up there, but I just really hope to see, you know, people being not afraid to make a move. And that's kind of what I'm hoping for in the next week, in the next few weeks.
All right. Well, it appears that as we speak, Tyler is now talking finally to Cody and Enzo about this new knowledge about Danny and Nicole. So we'll see where this goes. We'll see this guy. This is great, great timing on the round. He was told we did a round table. Pretty sure nothing happened. And now things are starting to happen again. So there we go. We did, even though the veto happened way earlier than it usually does, we still managed to get some good timing in here. So, Mary, where can people find you?
You can follow me anywhere at Frail Mary. Feel free to see what variety of stuff I'm up to there. You know, typical teen drama stuff. Really my niche right now. I got a lot of Riverdale going on, Twilight going on.
You're involved in multiple love triangles.
Oh, yeah. So many.
Just like Cody.
So many love triangles, so many tears, you know, it's just it's a lot going on. So feel free to check that out. And otherwise I'm here usually. So you found me.
Serena, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Serena Foster. I really don't be tweeting. Like I said, all I really do is follow BB daily updates and Taryn to get my opinions. But you can also follow me on Instagram. I just posted a really cute with this outfit on, but yeah, that's where you can find me.
There you go. Geneva, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Peace Love Gen, G-E-N, like half of my name. I tweet a lot about Big Brother and Sequester, and recently Love Island, so that's also been very interesting as well. Yeah, that's mostly what I talk about. I also, next week, will be playing in a crazy private mini Winners at War with 40 people for Sequester. It's going to be hectic and a mess. So if you want a break from Big Brother next Saturday night or whatever time it's happening at, be sure to watch that. So, yeah, I hope you all have a really good week.
All right. Well, you can, of course, find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn and on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn. Armstrong. We have a lot of fun there, so check it out. I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today or happened today and will happen today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. And of course, tomorrow night, we will be live for a recap of the nomination episode of Big Brother 22. And then is this week the week where we've got a wonky schedule? The episode's on like a Tuesday or something? Yeah, we'll figure it out. That's far.
I don't know.
We'll have plenty of other podcasts for me to talk about that if it's true. Anyway, that's what we have for you for now. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.